Hey, how are you? This is Buffalo Bill, taking a break from feeding my moths and working on a new sewing project to thank all the wonderful people who donate and produce Radio Labyrinth, which is one of my favorite podcasts. Really, really whiles away the time while you're sewing. Thanks to Jason Chappell, Mike Hall, Sean Hall, Chad Shippard, Al McKeon, Daniel Pitts, Mike Spittler, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Brian Smith, Steve Knutson, Melissa Knowles, Leslie Norman, John Sutherland, who, by the way, has a wonderful framed picture drawn by Tim Andrews hanging up. Pretty nice. Mike D, Eric Malmstrom, Matt Carter, and Beth Van Elswick. I gotta go. There's an FBI agent at my door. I think she wants to use my phone.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, euros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting since 1983.
Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ATL Pizza. Interact with other diners, check out the menu, and even start your order. Or AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
Hey there, radios. This is Dean, a.k.a. Rockdale Tiger, inviting you to listen to this week's episode of Mike TV as we recap episode 3 of season 1 of HBO's Watchmen. This week, join Lisa and I as we discuss The Owl, The Genius, and The God, Silk Spectre Takes Manhattan, and The Courteous Captivity of Adrian Veidt. All this and more on this week's episode of Mike TV, and don't forget to watch new episodes of Watchmen Sundays at 9 p.m. on HBO.
Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this, but I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Well, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Do you party?
Excuse me?
Do you get high?
After you inhale, you take the joint and you pass it to the person sitting next to you. Do not repeat. Do not hold on to the joint.
Oh, no thanks. I got some store-bought right over here in my own.
No, man. This is grass.
You mean marijuana?
Is that a joint, man?
This is a cross, a bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass featherbed bench, and Northern California sensimilla. The amazing stuff about this is that you can play 36 holes on it in the afternoon, take it home, and just get stoned to the bejesus belt.
You getting high already? It's just 2 o'clock.
It's that late?
You know, you smoke too much of that shit. That shit's gonna rob you of your ambition.
Not if your ambition is to get high and watch TV.
This is like if that blue oyster shit met that Afghan kush I had, and they had a baby.
Some beef jerky, some peanut butter, get some Haagen-Dazs ice cream bars, a whole lot of hot, make sure chocolate, gotta have chocolate.
You guys wanna smoke a bowl, or?
Oh. Let me get a nickel bag.
$15, little man, put that shit in my hand.
That's right, monkey, play my head.
I want you to take the Frankenstein shit, the deer shit, the green monster, the bling, and the bling bling. And I want you to roll it all into one joint.
No one's ever been brave enough to try that.
One man is. Roll it.
I'll smoke it with you, bro. We'll go to the loony bin together. I don't give a fuck.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 44. This is season 4, episode 44 of Radio Labyrinth, and it's Jeff and I in here right now. Steph will be here shortly. Autumn is off this week. We have a guest on the line. Her name is Beth Van Elswick, and she is, what is your position with this company that we're going to talk about?
Co-founder/partner of WeSo Management.
We Sow Industrial Hemp Provider out of Washington State.
Oregon.
See, Jeff always says Washington State. I knew it was Oregon.
You know what? If I could do the voice, I really was trying to practice. I was going to be Sarah Palin because I am literally looking out my window and I can see Washington from here.
Oh, God.
You betcha. So close enough. Yeah, right at the mouth of the Columbia on Astoria, Oregon. And my business partner, Marcus, is in Canby, Oregon, in the heart of the farmland down there.
Well, we live in the brave new world. Generation X is turning 50. Some of us are a little older. Some of us are a little younger. But we're right in the wheelhouse of being between the two generations, the generation that got hooked on pot and the generation that now I know it's not pot that you sell, but I'm getting there. And then you have the younger generation who everything is vaped, everything is digital, everything is e this, e that.
Yep.
But here we are in a brave new world in the United States of America, where in most states, in all states, I guess, CBD is legal. And in a handful of states, getting larger every year, recreational use of THC is legal. Not here in Georgia, but we do have a thriving CBD business. I'd like to see it get out of the gas stations and start being something that you...
Yeah, we need to talk about that, the gas station CBD. Is that
get your Mung Dal and your...
Is that stuff any good?
It's hard to say. I would say most of it probably no. I'm pretty particular about... our company, Marcus or I are actually going to the fields where the hemp's grown. We visit, you know, the production facilities and make sure everything's, you know, what they say it is, that it's really a farm plant-based product. Unfortunately, some of the stuff that's sold in your gas stations is out of country hemp, and it won't necessarily even be CBD.
Right.
So really it's finding products that you know you can get, at least look at test results, even though I'm sure when you look at those pieces of paper, you're like, what the heck? Because that's what everybody says when they first look at them. Working with products that you know are tested and a company that you know, tests and is working well with you is always good.
Do you ever go out in the field and test a plant and it ends up having too much THC so you can't use it?
Yes. Yeah, that's actually really a controversial topic right now because, you know, the USDA literally, a couple days ago rolled out the new interim rules. And the legal definition of hemp is that it's below 0.3 THC, which should be simple enough, except there is a thing called THCA, which is THC acid, that when... You know, it goes back and forth. I'm not the molecular scientist that can explain it really well, but there's a whole formula of what happens when you decarboxylate / heat it up. Does it turn into THC that can then put it above total 0.3? So there's a big controversy going on about that. But if it does test high, then the crop's destroyed.
The and whole crop, you can't use it for anything else?
No. Nope. Right now, if you have a hemp license and you're growing industrial hemp, it has to be below. Now, in Oregon, there is, you know, leeway with its total Delta 9 THC, which is a THC we're well aware of in, you were talking about pot / cannabis pot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the psychoactive THC that we're used to. It's a Delta 9 is what they call it.
And how can I get job of being the guy that goes around to destroy these these plants?
Hey, there are jobs that like that. I'll tell you what, there's, especially if you're going to see it heading your way. And it's just, it's a wave of wow when it starts hitting you. Because like you said, Tim, you hit on something. We grew up where, my first legal cannabis event here, which was, 5-6 years ago. But my first legal cannabis event, I'm sitting with one of my best friends. We go outside to get air and, you know, we're enjoying a joint. And a cop drives by and we turn white and we're like, oh, my God. I'm like, it's legal.
You turn into Randy from South Park.
Yeah, the whole scenery has changed, so to speak, in that arena. And, there's now jobs. There's reporters that go around and they're reviewers. There's people that are at contests that, bit past it. But I would say, and I think I compared this before, I do a lot of comparing to it. It's kind of like wine, where you're almost now, you have to be like a sommelier. You need to know the terpene profile, the flavonoid profile, understand CBD, CBG, CBN, and what all these things do together.
Yeah, I watched that show where they Bong Appetit, and
yes,
they say all those things.
That dude Ryan knows everything about the science,
terpenes, and all that shit. Hey, Steph. Steph's joining us.
Hey, Steph.
She can't hear you.
Now I can hear you. I'm sorry.
Let's back up just a little bit. So Jeff and I met Beth Van Elswick, who, by the way, is one of our producers on Radio Labyrinth.
Thank you, Beth.
Yes.
You guys, I love it. Every week, I love listening to you guys.
We met her in college, and we partied a lot. Denna, you lived in a trailer, and you had this really awesome old truck that was all metal, and it was awesome.
What model was it? What was it?
It was an old 64 sidestep Dodge.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good old truck with reverse glass packs. I mean, it was a good old truck.
We spent a lot of time in the era of where you would get in a lot of trouble, even if you had one joint on you. But, you know, of course, we were rebels and, you know, it was pot was everywhere, even in our little town up in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania has medical now.
Yeah. And this lady, Beth, she saved my life one night.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that?
You know, you brought that up on another podcast, and I'm like, okay, I need to remember this. And I did. It took me a minute, but then it came back to me, because I was like, man, we've had some good times. And it's like, wait a minute, let me remember that.
We went to Albany, New York, without tickets to see the Grateful Dead at the Knickerbocker Arena. We never got tickets. It's a show that they made a record out of, by the way. So we get there, and you know, this is the last time I had done this, so we're talking 1991. I took two hits of acid, and my girlfriend at the time bought a sheet. So we're going way back. I mean, George Bush was still president, the original.
Was this like Jesus on the window pane?
They had Lucky Charms. No, it was Lucky Charms.
Oh, okay.
And it had little Lucky Charms, you know, like this pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars.
Always after me, Lucky Charms. Right.
So I take it, and I can't handle it. We start walking around
Albany. That was a lot. Hit and a half is the most I ever did, and that was way too much.
We go into this little halal chicken place, and I'm looking at the garbage can, and it's going boom, 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 boom. And all the hairs on my wrist and arms are little worms crawling in and out. I'm just freaking out. And I'm like, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And Beth, soldiered me up, and we went over to this hotel, and I took all the weed because we didn't have any money left. I took all the acid that my girlfriend had, and we sold it to these yuppies, made a ton of money, and we were able to get a hotel.
You're admitting to a felony right now.
What? I don't, you know, you can't prove
anything. Well, that distribution.
This is all fake. It was a dream I had. And then the reason Beth had to calm me down is because I had so much anxiety, and that's multiplied by 10,000 when you're taking a drug like that.
Yes.
And, it's the first time I ever met Jeff's friend at the time, Judy. I'd never met Judy, and I kept looking at her saying, hey, I'm tripping. She was laughing, and this little hippie guy gave me, hey, man, here's some tea. It'll calm you down, and I threatened to beat him up because I thought I had mushrooms in it. That's how I'm fucked up I was. I've seen elves. But anyway, thank you, Beth. I can thank you enough for keeping me grounded. And
you didn't have any weed to bring you down?
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. No. I also had smoked crack that
night. Sometimes you have to take people on a happy journey. You gotta guide the journey back to happiness.
Well, you get this
guy. And now look at us. We're 50, and we're looking at CBD over everything else because we just want the aches and pains to go away.
That's right.
We've come a long way.
Yeah, you know, I don't need to roll a joint to knock out my pain. I can rub this CBD lotion on it, and it'll work.
That's true.
I'm seeing the CBD stuff like at my Kroger pharmacy when I go to pick up my stuff. There's a whole display.
At Kroger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
And you have to have a pharmacist present in order to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just like a little jar of something is $50. I mean, all this stuff is.
You can go to Quick Trip or Happy Mart and go get all of it out your leg.
Yeah, we discussed that already. The gas station.
Yeah, kratom.
Not good.
Get some kratom. Whatever kratom is.
Yeah, and you know, and with topical. While we're on that subject, with topicals, it's more than the CBD. I mean, the CBD adds a lot to it because it works with what's known as the endocannabinoid system. But like the products you have in front of you from the company CBD Revolution. It's all organic essential oils from Oregon, and that is vital. You know, it's making sure you're getting the right combination of what works, and then infusing, you know, your CBD oil and your lavender, and if you notice, some of them have arnica, and, you know, different products will have something else in them, because some are more for kind of getting really into your bones for arthritis. Some are more for, oh, my muscles are tight and ache. And for some of us, like my mom has neuropathy in her feet, and she wasn't able to walk real well. And did it cure her? No. But when she uses the right CBD topical, she says, man, I can walk around for a good hour or two instead of 15 minutes.
My wife's friend started using it on her back. She has back issues. She said it's the first thing that's worked for her in years.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Nabeth, do you guys market it for pets? Because I know I buy it for my dog.
Yes.
He's a freak, and I'll give him some drops, and it kind of chills him out.
Yes. It's really good for... I have a dog with, and you may be familiar with this, it's the nickname Snapping Fly Syndrome. And it's a seizure. And it took us a minute to figure out what it was. We had to YouTube, what is our dog doing and why is it bothering her? And we're like, oh, she's having seizures.
Wow.
She now gets 6 milligrams in the morning and 6 milligrams at night. And I would say a seizure start, instead of once a week, maybe once a month or two, we'll see it coming on.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So let's back up again. Now, there's people out there listening who probably don't understand. So let's break it down so everyone can understand. Because I don't really either. Sure. So what is the difference between hemp and cannabis, which people call pot? Cannabis versus hemp. What's the difference?
So the cannabis sativa plant is both hemp and, you know, what we know as cannabis pot.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are going by in this country is the legal definition. So you have industrial hemp, which is going to be, like I said, the below total THC of 0.3. And the USDA has got to figure out if, you know, that controversy over THCA versus Delta 9. And then anything over that, they're saying, is pot cannabis.
Okay.
So it's the same plant. And then the other thing to remember is in industrial hemp, now we're talking about CBD mostly, because that's, you know, the most newly discovered use for it. But similar to what we were doing in the 1930s, we've got people beginning to really start getting into fiber and growing it for food. So
how do you eat it?
Then the seeds. The seeds are really high in protein. And then you'll see... some of your health food stores, you'll see hemp powder. It's a real high protein thing. Hemp milk. I mean, that's what I use for my coffee.
Hemp milk. Is it good?
Yes, I like it, but I like it because it's kind of got a sweeter taste than the other milk alternatives. And since I can't have milk, and I, you know, checked other alternatives, I like it.
Are you lactose?
I like that it gives, yes.
You got the lactose intolerance.
Oh, yeah. You and I can share stories, but I'm not going to.
Okay. I don't care. I have to have half and half. And occasionally I'll buy milk. Grass-fed. None of that cheap shit. So hemp is... They used to make... They make rope out of it and clothing
paper.
And paper. And we used to read High Times and all that propaganda where you could make more paper out of an acre of hemp than you could out of trees, which isn't propaganda. It's true. Now you have state like Kentucky with, you know, Mitch McConnell, who actually supported it because the farmers can grow hemp now. So it's a crop that they can make so much money off of. It's like in Georgia earlier this year, or maybe last year, we lost a bunch of crops to a storm or flooding or whatever. I forget when it was. And they had lost all these crops. If they had been able to plant hemp this year, they could have recouped, in fact, made more money, and and they wouldn't lose all their farms, and we wouldn't have to bail them out. So that's pretty interesting.
Yes.
So
yeah, it is. It's really, and that's the way, you know, one of the people that I always tell anybody that wants to know about hemp, Doug Fine, his book Hemp Bound. We grew up on Jack Herer.
Yes.
Yeah, Jack Herer, I get that. That's another classic. But for modern hemp, I'm not sponsored by him. I got to meet him, and he really inspired myself and my business partner, Doug Fine. And the book is Hemp Bound. And I mean, he's doing stuff like Mount Vernon grew their first hemp crop since Washington. Now it is part of history again, where when you go visit Mount Vernon, they talk about how they grew hemp, how they harvested it. He harvested, you know, they got dressed up in the era of the day and they harvested hemp, and they're bringing back that American history.
Colonial Williamsburg would have been a lot more fun had we had.
Yeah, they sure didn't tell us that when we went to Mount Vernon. They just showed us where the secret wine carafe was in the wall.
Here's where the slaves were kept.
Yeah. Here's where we raped them.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because for me, it's an exciting industry because it's part history. You know, it's part, we got sidetracked in the 1930s. And then the CBD part of it is just, wow. I mean, that wasn't something that they kind of knew, but they didn't. You'll find, especially Kentucky, there's a diary that some of the trade shows, they'll travel around with it. And there's some stuff in there where, you know, grandma basically talks about she makes Papa some salve from the crushed up leaves when he comes in from, you know, harvesting hemp, and his hands are all swollen, and she crushed up the leaves and she'd make a salve out of it. And, well, Papa's hands, the swelling went down. So they were just kind of on the cusp of really realizing what else it could do. And then, you know,
why was it illegal
in the 19th?
Why did
you know, and I would say, it was a business decision. And part of it, I think that Anslinger conspiracy podcast is great for going through the government conspiracy of it. And then the other side is, I really think it was a business move. At that time, they really thought plastic was better for us than anything else.
Okay.
I mean, that, you know, when you look back at some of the history of why they went with plastic, it really wasn't where we are now. They had every intention of, oh, we're not going to use as much of our land. We can now grow more food. And as we know, now I'm like, well, let's get rid of that plastic and support companies like Lego, that by 2030, all Legos will be hemp plastic.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, wow.
Hemp plastic. So is it still going to take 1,000 years for it to biodegrade, or does it?
I don't know. I don't know the exact time frame, but no.
Can we smoke the Legos?
Can you build a wall?
Coming back with hemp jeans. In fact, they said they figured out a way to make them softer, so you'll have hemp clothing again. Hmm. And even you may not realize that if some of the clothes you get from China that say cotton blend are a blend of hemp and cotton. There's over 1 million acres of hemp grown in China.
Dude, they must be stoned all the time. No, I know.
thank Randy Marsh for that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So the name of that,
trust me, China, it is industrial hemp with no THC. I guarantee.
Yeah, no kidding, they'll kill you.
It's not a cannabis deal there.
The podcast that Beth recommended is Anslinger, Anslinger, The Untold Cannabis Conspiracy. So we now know the difference between hemp and cannabis, cannabis being pot, hemp being the industrial plant. Now, here's something. Before the last 2 years, I had no idea what the hell CBD was. I've always known THC, man, total hangover cure. Let's get high, smoke a joint. But so we know THC is the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, cannabis. What's CBD, and how do you, you know, pull that out and keep the THC away from it?
So CBD and THC both work with what they have named the endocannabinoid system. So your whole body has this endocannabinoid natural system. And as a layman, I'm not a molecular scientist. I picture like kind of a net over your whole body that is kind of touched into your whole body. So your endocannabinoid system, you know, that's your organs from your skin, which is why topicals work, to muscles and everything else. And the THC, like you said, that's more that psychoactive, quote unquote, cannabis high. Where the CBD is a cannabinoid of, well, I think they've discovered about 120 in the plant, and they're just starting to research. And CBD was the most prominent one that came through at first. And they started extracting it from THC plants first, from my understanding, I mean, there's not, you know, it's hard because, you know, you're talking black market history, but they started to extract it from the THC plants first and went, hey, there's something to this. This is helping with inflammation. This is doing this. So lo and behold, as things start becoming legal, about 40 years ago at OHSU, that's the Oregon Health Science University Hospital, there was a researcher there talking to the medical people all about CBD, how they had extracted it out, and they were starting to work on fighting cancer cells with it. And I'm not saying it's a cure for cancer.
They used to say that it was.
Research. Yeah, well, you know, I'm not big into extremes either way.
Right.
I don't think, you know, everyone's going to die because we're making it legal. And I don't think it's going to cure everything. And we're never going to have to see a doctor again. And, you know, the whole world is going to be happy. But I do see where it's really caused relief and helps people. And even, you know, when you've got actual researchers now, and that's why, you know, I had this really big push for legality, is not real big on overregulation, but I am really big on let's have scientists, medical doctors, you know, molecular scientists, botanists research this. Let's get some real research and start finding out what we can really do.
Now you can find out.
And we are now.
You can find out more about industrial hemp, rural economies. If you go to wieso.com, that is WIESOW.com, where you could even order products, I imagine.
Yeah, yes.
I see a shopping cart.
That's where you order products, and we're going to get a nice B2B platform up for our retailers and sellers here in the next couple of weeks, a hemp conduit.
Yeah, fill everybody in. That'll be really nice. Fill everybody in on what exactly Wieso does as a company.
Sure. Wieso started out as a genetics company. We started out selling seed. And the short of the long of it is, as we went around and started talking to farmers, both Marcus and I realized there was no infrastructure happening. There was no supply chain management. It was farmers growing great hemp. It was people making great products, stores that wanted it, nobody in the middle. So we kind of stepped in and made really, really good relationships with everybody. So we are now at a point where if you contact us and say, I have 20 acres of land and I want to grow some hemp and I don't know what I'm doing, we can help you out. If you're somebody that says, hey, I grew hemp, I got the genetics, I grew some great hemp, but I don't know where to sell it, how to sell it, where to do it, we can help you with that.
So if, I said to you, I have
overall management company.
So if I said to you, I have a farm in Tennessee, there's 150 mm-hmm. acres, and there's probably mm-hmm. about, I don't know, at least 70 acres that we could grow on. You could help us figure out how to do that.
Yes.
And it's legal in other states.
And we try to be honest and tell you, if it's your first year, you probably don't want to grow 70 acres.
Try one.
I will tell you, Marcus and I have, we you know, our joke is we've told more people no than yes because, you know, really want to get out there. This is not gold rush. This is hard work. This is real farming. It's definitely hard work. And we've seen, gosh, you can even read articles and there's going to be more coming out of. There are people that went and planted 250 acres their first year. And then when it came time to harvest, did not have a plan of what they were going to do to harvest and dry and lost 250 acres of hemp.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's been a pretty wild year. And then there's other people that have been at it for years. And I would say from our experience, the most successful people started small and said, okay, let me figure this out. And, you know, there's a lot you need to do as far as soil testing, because one of the great benefits of hemp is it pulls everything out of the soil. So like in Holland, they move it around in different areas of the fields to keep the fields clean.
You do crop rotation, right?
Yeah. Which just sounds great, but like I'm a little bit worried. And in some states, you might be growing some hemp, and then you're going to get your pesticide test back and go, I didn't use pesticides, but maybe somebody did 4 years ago on the field, and now that hemp is no good.
I mean,
that's the difference between pot, cannabis pot, and hemp. Hemp really pulls everything out of the soil.
And is this a crop that gets, you know, attacked a lot by bugs and animals? That like a whole other thing?
Nope. No. That's kind of the nice thing about it is, for the most part, it's, I mean, I know people that do no-till farming, where they're just, you know, dropping holes, dropping the plant in, taking care of it, and just really making sure the soil's good. I mean, there's a lot of different methods, but as far as I will tell you, when I did my little experiment here, my pesticide I used was ladybugs.
Wow.
And you will hear people using ladybugs, praying mantis, lots and lots of natural options.
Do these plants flower?
Yes, in fact,
so they're pollinated.
I understand. Yeah, and I understand where there's, you know, people that aren't used to this are like, well, that field of hemp looks like pot. Yeah, it does. I mean, there's, you know, there's no, like, and you saw, I sent you some legal smokable hemp. If you put that next to some legal smokable pot cannabis, it sure does look the same.
Uh-uh. No, it looks like weed looked in the 80s.
Well, okay, you're a little bit drier sometimes and not quite as colorful, but it's real similar to, you know, when people are going driving by a field or looking at it.
Well, what happens when you smoke it, the hemp?
For the CBD hemp, I've had people tell me, I've got someone that said, wow, takes care of my inflammation in my shoulder and I can rotate my arm. Some people find they can sleep better. It just kind of helps them mellow out without feeling high.
When I was in I was in Florida earlier in the year. My wife and I went to island, Key West. And I didn't know they had it legal there. So I'm walking down the street and I see all these shops with pot, and they have pot in jars. I'm thinking it's pot. And they have the little green cross or whatever. So we were there our first night, and, you know, we were right across from a drag bar, which is loud till 4 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I didn't have any weed on because we flew. And I'm like, I'm going to go buy one of those joints. So I get down and I'm asking the questions. The lady's getting frustrated with me because I'm like, how much for the joint? And I'm using the wrong terms. And she goes, listen, you're not going to get high. She's Cuban. Just buy it. It'll relax you if you need to go to sleep. So I go back on the porch. It's this big, huge, fat CBD joint. And I smoke the whole thing and I slept like a baby.
But you didn't get high?
No, not high at all. I just was super relaxed. Sound. It was awesome.
Yep.
I mean, it was kind of like, you know, dry humping, but it was still good.
But you think about, there's so many people out there that don't want the high. And also don't want to take, we were talking Generation X. I think hemp is probably made for Generation X, business-wise, and even, you know, I'm so happy to be 50 and be taking zero pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
That's nice.
And I want to continue that, and I want to see our generation move past the, you know, we watched it with our parents and our grandparents. Okay, here's your pill pack. Take these 12 pills today. Because you have to take this pill to counteract this pill to counteract this pill.
So,
I'm hoping we move past some of that.
I'm looking at, you sent us some product, and I want to ask you what some of these things are. So the first thing I have is I see this little jar of powder, and it says CBD isolate 99.8%. What is that?
So that is pure CBD. So it's been isolated and extracted from the plant. There is literally nothing. Yeah, 99.8%. That is pure CBD isolate.
What would you do with that?
So there's no. So for that, people can do everything from put it under your tongue a little bit. There's people who love to make edibles. You can use it in topicals and make your own.
Hmm.
And there's people that dab it, which we didn't even bring up, but, you know, like you said, the younger generation especially is younger than us into dabbing. So they'll add some CBD isolate on top of their dab so that they're getting that body mellow as well as the THC. And then when I first learned about a lot of this stuff, it was from medical patients. You know, it was people that were dealing with feeling sick from chemo.
Yeah.
And this helped with the nausea. Again, we're not talking about they took it to cure their cancer. I mean, there are cases of people talking about they feel it did. You know, Melissa Etheridge says RSO saved her life, and that may be the case. I don't know. But I do know I've seen firsthand where it's helped with the nausea. And when people are going through different medical conditions, IBS, just a lot of conditions that fibromyalgia.
I need help with that, IBS.
Yeah, Well, and you may find, and that's why I want to, you know, get more, it sounds crazy, but get more good CBD in the market so we can get the prices lower, because that daily doses of CBD could help IBS.
Now, what about...
You know, you could find over time.
What about Soothe Salve? It looks like deodorant. It's not.
Oh, that is the one that I find really good for feet pain and neuropathy. And again, these are not FDA statements. These are myself and other people that said, hey, when I used it, it did this for me.
What happens so when the FDA goes, nah, none of this shit's real, and you're done?
I don't see that happening. If you look on the back
of
that,
too busy going
the
after
sugar
Jewel.
Pack, that's already FDA compliant.
The sugar pack, so, the CBD sugar you sent?
Yeah, yeah. If you look on the back, you'll see the FDA compliant on there. And the products are, you know, the beauty industry has approved CBD for beauty products.
Nice.
And can't, if you did get, like, too high from regular pot, you could take a little CBD to, like, bring it down, right?
I have heard that. I don't know. I haven't personally experienced that, but I have heard people say yes, that it's helped. And I think it might be just it calms the anxiety. I don't know what the scientific, right. You know, how the molecules are working there, but I have heard that, yeah, that it'll calm it down.
So if you guys are out there listening or interested in any of this stuff, you can go to the website WIESOW.com. There's all sorts of stuff. We have this facial cream, exfoliant, facial cleanser.
Are you going to part all this out? You're going to part all this out at the end?
Hand it over.
Or you can have whatever you want. I'm just talking about it.
I mean, I want it all, but that's okay. Especially want some more of those watermelon gummy things.
They're gone now. You ate
them. Oh, my God. They were so good. Stop eating them.
They were so good.
They're so good.
I handed her the bag. I pulled up two fingers. I said, well, how many did you eat? Five.
No, I don't think they make a good product.
What is an exfoliant?
Oh, they do?
So the exfoliant is, as most women, I guess I mean sexist saying that, but most women
that's
will know
right.
it's for you know, rubbing on your skin, and especially your face, to get the dry skin off. And it's an exfoliant that uses jojoba beans, so you're not getting little plastic in you. And again, the CBD works right with, I think it's called the C1 and C2 receptors in your skin organ, and just really, in fact, I heard Autumn say it gets you, what she's called, dewy, your dewy, healthy skin. It really just keeps your skin healthier. I have, you know, personal story, I have a little bit of psoriasis.
Oh, yeah, the heartbreak?
Yeah, So when I use the Soothe lotion every day, my breakouts have gone down tremendously. They still happen, and I'll need to use the prescription medicine every once in a while. But again, it's not a cure, but it definitely has helped curb it a lot.
See,
and I know
I'm amazed.
The lotion is also helping with itching.
I am amazed by that we've had this product that has been banned since the 30s that you could grow. I'd be careful with that in here, because
quick eating. There's a cop out there.
The cameras don't know that it's that it's industrial hemp.
Gotcha.
Do you still partake in the other form of hemp?
Yes. Yeah, I am a cannabis user.
Now, how do they interact? I know Jeff just asked this question, but if you smoke a lot of weed, does it, and then you stop smoking weed, and you're like, I want to start taking CBD for my pain, is there a time where you have to let the THC work out of your system? Do they combat each other?
Not that I'm aware of. And I talked to different people that there's some people I know, somebody he loves taking a little bit of CBD hemp and kind of making a salad with his cannabis. And for him, that is like the perfect combination. And there's a lot of people that are smarter than me that are really researching how much of a balance between THC and CBD is another form of really good medicinal use.
Damn.
That the THC working with the CBD, what does it really do? And there are a lot of people that say, wow, when I've got pain with my inflammation, if I have THC and CBD together, it really helps. For me personally, I think I said it to you, I'm a daily CBD user because I'm 50, and a lot of times when I get up out of a chair, it hurts or I bend down, it's those aches and pains. And if I have, I take about 25 milligrams a day, I don't have those aches and pains. I just feel better. And really what it is it's my inflammation, you know, as we get older and I'm heavy, you know, it just kind of eases that inflammation and you're like, yeah, I feel better.
Helps those knees and those shoulders and that lower back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. I mean, again, it's not a cure-all. I'm doing yoga too, but again, yeah. Athletes are using the CBD for, they're finding it does great muscle recovery.
Nice.
So, you know, MMA is one of the most famous ones. They're pretty out there about using CBD for muscle recovery. But locally, we've got rugby players that are out there talking about it. MMA fighters that, as far as like working out real hard or in a sport that takes a beating, football players are coming out saying, man, why are you giving me opiates when I can be taking something like CBD and rather than masking the pain, finding out, hey, how bad is it? You know, that, oh, okay, we've eased the inflammation. I can get back in the game, coach, instead of, I can't feel anything. I'm great, coach. Let's go.
You know, I was going to ask you, Beth, one of my bosses, he does a lot of studies on this because he's very pro about using hemp and stuff like that to treat your ailments. But then he's also for recreational THC use. But he says that you should only ingest it. You shouldn't smoke anything because it builds up plaque on your brain. They've been doing all these studies. He's done a lot of talks and stuff on it. Have you heard anything about that?
I think there are research. I think smoking, and hear me cough, smoking anything probably isn't right the best way. And that's where then they talk about vaping. And then you'll have people that say, well, ingesting with food may not be the best way, and that just doing the direct oil, the drops under the tongue. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to deny, I think it's common sense that probably smoking anything isn't the best way to ingest something. And I'll just admit, I, like Tim talked about, I'm Gen X, and I've been smoking cannabis for a few years since college. and, you know, but I know that there's a lot of studies going on about different things. And then some of the results are wild. I mean, they're finding that people over 60, that instead of causing short-term memory loss, it might actually be helping the brain gain some memory back.
Yeah, I just read that. Like, if you don't smoke it when you're young or don't take it when you're young, but if you start taking it when you're older, it can help.
Yep. It can help. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's so new. And I said, you know, if anybody tells you they're an expert on CBD or cannabis, they're probably not, because we are learning new stuff every day, good, bad, and different, mostly good. But I'm just saying we're learning different things every day.
I'm an expert at dabbing.
I hate dabbing. The last time I did it, I freaked out. I was like, I can't do this ever again. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, I was just, I've tried a few times, but somebody else has to do it, because for me, I'm like, okay, it's bad enough I have a lighter. You want to give me a torch.
Right. I watch YouTube videos of these people that do way too much. And they just, I mean, who the hell wants to lay there, like, riddled with anxiety, freaking out? No, thank you.
No, I don't want to think that the FBI is coming for me and I hear helicopters and stuff.
It looks like they're smoking salvia.
Originally, when I met people that were dabbing, again, it was medical patients that, you know, where you and I are enjoying cannabis because I had a hard day and I'm just going to mellow out now, or I'm at a party and maybe like me and you don't drink anymore. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the party this way. The people I first met that were dabbing were, you know, dying of cancer and were trying to get as much THC in their body as they could. And there's all kinds of studies that they're working on that, you know, dabbing the oil for some severe different medical causes, it'll keep it in your system longer and can help fight things. So on a medical level, more research needs to be done so that we can learn more about it.
Guys, you can go to, and I'm highly suggesting you do this now, go to WESO.com. Check out the awesome logo that Jeff made.
Oh, this is you.
Read all about Beth's company and and any questions you have. They're either there or there are links that can take you to the right place. Let me ask you this, because this is an important question. South Park is now promoting Integrity Farms. How close
Integrity
is
Farms.
How close is that to reality?
I think it's probably one of the best parodies on Denver ever.
Really? Is that what it's like in Colorado?
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy the parody that they're making of it because I can laugh at myself and living in Oregon, you know, I have to laugh at myself about the first season or two of Portlandia was pretty accurate.
I love that show.
You know, I watch it and I kind of laugh because I drive everybody crazy now because I'm like plant-based. Everything can be plant-based. Yeah. We can replace plastics and hemp I get off the board with because even I have yet to find anything that can't be made with hemp.
Dildos.
So I...
You
can Google anything because you can do plastics with hemp. So yes, there are hemp tampons and on a more inventive thing, there
hemp
is
Diva Cup.
Hemp fiber that will be able to be replaced into batteries to conduct energy.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
So hemp saves the world, man.
The only thing I could think of it.
Like I said, this is where I get like Terror to Farms. Everybody should be growing hemp. Terror was right, man. Hemp can save the world.
Yep.
And it can give everybody a job. We go back to this, but Gen X, man, anybody that's Gen X that, you know, we kind of missed out. We weren't the .com, right? We missed that. We weren't yuppies. We missed that. And then just about when we were getting our footing, the recession hit. Yay. So we missed it.
Yeah, you're totally right about that.
You know, and it's, you know, my perspective, it was just like, I was just finally, okay, crawling out of it. Here we go. I'm sold out, but was loving it in the corporate world. Recession hits and bam, Gen X was the first to go.
Yep. No houses, jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what I see is our work ethic is perfect for hemp.
Mm-hmm.
Take, you know, a little bit of my, it's not really anger, but a little bit of my, damn, missed that. I'm not missing this.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to work for myself with, and I couldn't do it without an amazing supportive partner with my wife and an amazing supportive business partner, Marcus. I mean, we work our butts off every day, but we're paying our bills. And that's what I can. And Doug Fine talks about the family farm can come back. You can be a family farmer, whatever definition of family you want to make it. Can be, you know, like we used to talk about in college. You know, I'm going to go start my commune. And I even laugh now. I can't wait. A couple of years, I want to have a farm. And we've got an expat that needs to come home and can't afford his bills. So we got to hide him out there. But, I mean, you know, you can bring the family farm back. You can bring a microeconomy back because there's so many opportunities not to become a multimillionaire, but to create a business for yourself.
But to be something that's not subsidized like corn and wheat and soybeans.
Not yet.
Well, my only question is asked because I've looked into moving to Portland several times because I've always wanted to live there. And it's like $900,000 for a 3-bedroom Craftsman.
Yeah, how do all those Antifa kids afford to live there?
It's changed over the years. I mean, when I first came out here a long time ago, it was still Portland, Portlandia, and I'm not a city kid, so that's why we moved to Astoria. It's just going through its growing pains, and I think a lot of people tried to escape California. And so then that brought up the prices in Portland. And now we saw it on the Northeast. I mean, we saw what happened with people spreading out when they couldn't afford to live in New York City or couldn't afford to live in Philadelphia anymore. And that's what's starting to happen here is Portland's now going through its growing phase of kind of a really, really big town to becoming a city.
And you got to do that when you have a city like that because probably the infrastructure isn't prepared for a mass influx of people.
No.
So the market says, no, the houses are $1 million.
Yep. And we have, you know, I mean, it's not private. We have, you know, a homeless problem because, when rents triple in a matter of a couple of years, that's going to put people out on the streets. So it exploded. It's, you know, but again, I'm going to sound old. They're just saying things aren't just what they used to be. But Astoria is great.
And Oregon itself, I mean, where I live, I just think it's probably one of the most beautiful places ever. So
I've always wanted to go out there. I've never been there. I've been to California a bunch, but never that far. I've been to Washington, been to Seattle. That's it.
Well, remember, I could see Washington from my office.
That's right, Sarah Palin. We have some clips from some stoner movies throughout pop culture history that we're going to play here in a second. But before we move on to that, I had a God damn it, I forgot my question I was going to ask. Now I feel like an idiot. Oh, how long do you think before recreational use is legal in, say, the South, more specifically Georgia?
I think medical is going to come through first.
Yeah.
And then recreational. And it's hard for me. I got to admit, I have a skewed view because it's been, it's been decriminalized in Oregon since 1977 or something. So it's still kind of an eye opener to me when I hear, you know, what's going on still on the East Coast. So I think there's still that reefer madness propaganda scare that still kind of scares people out there. So I think they'll do medical first, and when they realize the sky isn't going
to
fall.
Are there enough boomers left to scare?
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, it's, you know, I mean, I will be honest. Like I said, I'm not the scientist, but I love being a disruptive capitalist.
Yes.
And there's nothing more disruptive right now than hemp.
And it's
going to disrupt every industry. So
pure capitalism.
There's going to be pushback.
Yeah. Well, of course there is. Like any new startup or anything innovative comes in and it just catches fire in this day and age, like Uber and Lyft. And then you have a city like New York that says, oh, our tax guys pay $1 million for a medallion. Blah, blah, blah. Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Well, you got to remember the biggest disruption, and I knew, you know, I felt in my heart it was coming, and now that that is there, the opiate industry.
Yeah.
You look at the states where we've had legal recreational, opiate deaths are down tremendously. We as humans celebrate that.
Yes.
But if you're running a company and you're only looking at a bottom line, that's pretty disruptive.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see where the pushback comes from, but what I'm hoping is I think the vast amount of farmers in this country have been ignored over and over and over and over again, and we have generations, you know, that have eaten all this processed food, and I think hemp's going to bring us back to the farming, back to an agrarian society, so to speak. I mean, I see technology and farming working together in a really great way. I mean, I'm probably one of the few people right now that I'm like, man, the future is so bright because of hemp. I don't care what's going on around me and all the blah, 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 blah. There is so much opportunity in this country right now with hemp to, like, make your own future and make it a better place. I mean, if you got a cause,
investing.
Like, you know, you want to feed people, you want to build houses, whatever, start looking into hemp, and you're like, oh, I can do that.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, you sent us a clip from a movie that I didn't even know existed. And
me either.
And I definitely want to see it because it is a Milos Forman movie from 1971 called Taking Off. And I will read you the summary of the film here. Unable to deal with her parents, Jeannie Tyne runs away from home. Larry and Lynn Tyne search for her. And in the process, meet other people whose children ran away. With their children gone, the parents are now free to rediscover and enjoy life. So the cast of this movie is there's a huge cast. So you got Buck Henry, who's the main guy, Larry. You have Georgia Engel. You know who that is, right?
Mm-mm.
It's George. What's her name on Mary Tyler Moore? She's Ted Baxter's wife.
Oh,
on Mary Tyler Moore.
I can't remember.
You have Vincent Schiavelli, and you know him from, you know, all sorts. He's in a million things. He, of course, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Are you in my class? I am today.
he was married to Agnes DiPesto.
Yes, and he's also in Ghost. He's like, get out of my train.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. So here
the
he
ghoul.
Is. Yes. Here he is telling a bunch of these people how to smoke a joint. Let's see how this plays.
This is a joint. The joint has two ends. It has one end, which is rolled shut.
Okay.
And another end, which is open.
Yeah.
Take the joint with the open end facing you firmly between your thumb and index fingers.
So this is a room full of, like, rich old white people.
You know what I'm saying? Then you take it and put it in your mouth. Like this.
like this.
Then you take out a match, you light it, you put it to the end, and you inhale very deeply, like like that. And as you inhale, curl up the edges of your mouth so that you let in a lot of oxygen along with the smoke.
Now, I never knew that.
It's very important to get a mixture of grass and oxygen.
Grass.
After you inhale, do not exhale immediately, but inhale very far into your back and hold it in with your diaphragm for a count of 10.
10, damn.
And then exhale, preferably through your nose.
So Vincent Schiavelli from the movie Taking Off. Where did you find that movie, Beth?
And I was just going to say, I want to give a shout out to Jackie, a good friend of mine from Tokativity.com, which is a women's group that works to help women in business, cannabis business and normalize cannabis. And Jackie posted that, and I had never seen the movie before. And it was so funny because we had just talked about there are classes just like that now. There are classes that show people how to enjoy cannabis. In fact, out here, there are classes that go to senior homes to show seniors how different ways to enjoy cannabis.
It's like a Tupperware party.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it was just funny that, you know, how far we've come, how far we haven't. And that was just really, really funny because we've had discussions about, you know, educating people on different uses and how to do things. And so I just thought that was, and I've never seen that movie and I can't find it. So Jeff, you're on.
Yeah, we'll have to look for it. Mrs. Yeah. Roper is in it.
She is?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Kathy Bates is in it.
Yeah,
Kathy
Bobo Bates.
Paul Benedict from Jefferson.
Carly Simon sings one of the songs. I mean, I have to see this movie.
You sent another clip, too, that I want to play. It's from the old Lawrence Welk show, which, if you're Gen X, you remember your grandparents watching it on the weekend. Usually not your parents, but my grandparents watched it. It was that and Hee Haw every Saturday night. I preferred Hee Haw.
Let's listen to Gail and Dale and one of the newer songs.
They had no idea. I bet you. Brewerd and Shipley, is that who it is?
One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. One toke over the line. Sitting downtown at the railway station. One toke over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary. Hoping that the train is on time.
So you got to think that they had no idea that song was about smoking weed.
I don't think they did. I think they heard Sweet Jesus and thought it was a religious song.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, William. Marijuana song that you sing. And the brew and the shipling with the man, the man. That's right. We're counting
Although
them up.
In 2019, I will tell you, I think the biggest Christian group for recreational cannabis is in Texas.
What are they called?
What's that?
A band?
No, a group, the Christian group that it's God for cannabis, that it's a natural plant.
Well, God gave it to us, so.
Yeah, exactly. And remember when it was us making those goofy comments, and now it's like, they're like, no, this is God's plant, and it should be legal.
Yep.
So it's a new time for a lot of things. It's pretty interesting.
We were fun activists. One night we got all fucked up and decided to have a protest, and they were knocking down a bank. And they were going to put another bank there, and we wanted a park. So we're all fucked up. We make signs, and we go, and we protest in the morning, and everybody gets all excited, and people yell, get a job, losers. You remember that? And then my seventh grade science teacher took a picture of it, Mr. Hemingway, and he was that his name?
Henninger,
Mr. Henninger.
Hemingway.
Oh, I don't know. Henninger, he had a picture of it. So someplace I have the picture of all of us protesting outside with, we need a park, not blah, blah, blah. Here's another really funny scene from pot movies. This is probably the funniest one we have, so I'm going to play it.
Girl, she's a cashier.
No way, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Ted.
Well, we should fucking double
white trash name.
You, me, and Laurie, and what's her name?
White trash name, guess.
Mandy.
Nope.
Marilyn.
Nope.
Brittany.
Nope.
Tiffany.
Nope.
Candace.
Nope.
Don't fuck with me on this. I know this shit.
You see me fucking with you? I'm not.
All right, speed round. I'm going to rattle off some names. When I hit it, fucking buzz it, okay?
I will tell you.
You got me?
Yeah.
All right, Brandy, Heather, Channing, Brianna, Amber, Sabrina, Melody, Dakota, Sierra, Bambi, Crystal, Samantha, Autumn, Ruby, Taylor, Tara, Tammy,
Autumn.
Lauren, Charlene, Chantel, Courtney, Misty, Jenny, Krista, Mindy, Noelle, Shelby, Trina, Reba, Cassandra, Nikki, Kelsey, Shauna, Jolene, Earlene, Claudine, Savannah, Casey, Dolly, Kendra, Kylie, Chloe, Devin, Emily, fucking Becky?
Nope.
Wait, was it any one of those names with a Lynn after it?
Yes.
Oh, I got you, motherfucker. No. I got you. Okay. Brandy Lynn, Heather Lynn,
Tammy Lynn.
Fuck!
What's your favorite, I guess, quote-unquote stoner movie? We'll go around in a circle. Steph?
Oh, I mean, probably... Jeez, I don't know, man. It's kind of hard to say. I guess... Big Lebowski has to, but I don't really think of that as a stoner movie.
It certainly enhances the film when you partake.
Yeah,
it puts you on the dude's level.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think of that as a
not new maybe.
It's like a whole thing. I don't know. I don't think about like a stoner movie. I guess Half Baked.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, Half Baked is good. Super Troopers too.
Oh yeah. How about you, Beth?
You know, I was going to say Half-Baked, and I'm always up for an old Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it plays off all the stereotypes, but, man, it is just have some good stuff. And he looks good for 70, so
he sure
I'm telling
does.
You, I don't think God, I saw a quote the other day. Nick Nolte drinks and Chong smokes cannabis, and they're both 70. Who looks better?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't drink at all anymore. I'll have a beer every now and then. But I don't get drunk anymore.
Nope.
I just can't hit my
Isn't
body.
That funny? We got it out of our systems.
Oh, boy, did I. I was a big drinker in college, man.
We drank a lot in college.
I loved it. I mean, I'm going to get drunk. And then I would I would smoke afterward and puke everywhere. I think my
good time.
Oh, yes. My favorite stoner movie, I guess, is probably The Big Lebowski. Again, it's not really a stoner movie, but... It is, and to a degree. I can watch things without being high, so I guess I'm fine with that. But you know, weed has been in pop culture for decades, and we grew up with it, and now it's just normal. So we are living in this brave new world, and I think it's fantastic. So,
you ever try watching The Big Lebowski on weed?
On man.
I just want to tell you, Beth, I have put the Soothe lotion... all over my
hands.
It
smells really good. I can smell it all the way across the room.
Not only does it smell good, but my hands are high, and I want to thank you for that.
I'm going to put some on my wiener.
You're going to make your wiener high.
I'm going to make my wiener high. Well, Beth, is anything that we forgot to mention that you want to add?
I don't think so. You know, there's a lot to learn, and I really just, you know, ask questions and before you buy a product, you know, I think it is, you know, I'm all about free market, but there's an accountability as a consumer. Really research what you get.
And we have specific CBD stores in this city. There's one in Sandy Springs. What's it called? Georgia Hemp Company.
Yep.
If you want to buy stuff like that, go to a dealer like that that's reputable. Don't buy it at the gas station.
You and Georgia Hemp Company, call me, and I'll get you some really great products from out here in the West.
Oh, I'm going to put you in touch with the guy or gal.
But that's my only thing is you know, is really research it. Don't necessarily, and I understand budget is a concern, and it's not the most affordable product right now because it's new in the market. Prices will go down over, you know, the next year or two as it becomes more prevalent. It's really more important to make sure you're using a good product. So you're getting your money's worth.
Do you have integrity?
Yeah, do you have integrity?
That's the best, man.
Beth, thank you very much. I hope we get to see you someday soon. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has. I need to get my farm started out here so I can just have a little 10 beads and a golf ball reunion, and you can bring Steph and Autumn out.
Oh, my God,
really
I would go crazy.
We'll go out and record the show from the farm.
Oh, yeah. Make that happen.
You do know my graduation party is recorded.
Yes, I know. Is that the one where we get in the car, you, me, and that, what was his name, Jeff?
Yeah.
And we went down to see our friend Frederica in where was it, Landisville? But we had a recorder the whole time. You have that tape?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to find that one. Yes, we have that tape, too.
I want to see
because that. Was before cell phones. But remember, everybody thought I was annoying. I always had my camera
And I do. I have a whole box of tapes here. I got to get on digital before they disintegrate. But yeah, it's the graduation party was the one where I ended up on the roof of the house because we ran out of everything.
Uh-huh.
And so everybody threw money on the blanket, and then we had to find somebody sober to go get them all of everything.
It was a small town.
And it was a small town.
You could only get beer at the bar.
Ah.
So. Yep.
And you had to go to Putnam Park to get Coke. Anyway, that was the end of it. I mean, I never did that. But we were told that. Beth, thanks a lot for coming on the show and talking about WESO.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Definitely. And also thanks for supporting us for so long.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Beth. And thanks for all this cool stuff.
Anytime. And any questions you have, you know, even off the air, if you're using something, you have a question, just, you know, shoot me an email, give me a call. And I really appreciate you guys. Your show is great. I listen every week because I work from home. So trust me, in the background, your recommendations are usually on one of my screens, and I appreciate
cool.
that. Good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Beth, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, you guys have a great time, and keep it cannabis.
We will.
You too. Bye,
keep it cannabis.
Yeah, keep it cannabis.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys, here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chappell at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sale. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care, LLC.
Like current events and want to be the smartest among your friends? Then the PowerPod is the show for you.
The PowerPod is a weekly recap show where we cover the current events of the week.
It's a show where we're not afraid to get serious.
And we're not afraid to have some fun.
So try us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, the WSB Radio app, WSBRadio.com, Stitcher, CastBox. Okay. Anywhere there are podcasts,
we are there. So power up. With the Power Pod!
Thank you, Beth. That was nice. We haven't, Jeff and I haven't heard her voice. Well, I talked to her a couple years ago.
She recorded that birthday thing.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I hadn't really had a conversation with her on the phone in a couple of years.
So nice. Such a cool lady.
She's great. I mean, my God, in that story, I mean, she was my savior that night. I tell you that I was.
You would still be running around Albany naked. You'd be wearing like a loincloth.
That old David Cross thing. Answer your telephone. Remember that? Answer your telephone. Yeah. Answer your telephone. Could you just answer your telephone? All right, let's knock out our staff picks real quick and wrap it up. You guys good with that?
Oh, sure. Whatever.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Steph just got here.
Oh,
an hour ago.
I don't care. I'm glad to be here. I'm just glad I'm alive. You don't understand. Like, you know, I got caught in the standstill traffic, right? With an accident. Well, as soon as I got through that on 85, I get going again. I'm not even going 2 miles down the road. And then Waze says, major accident up ahead. And I was like, are you kidding me? And it had just happened. And the ambulances weren't there yet or anything. And it was three cars spread all over 85. They were all smashed to crap. So I guess that they had just gotten out of this crap that we were stuck in, and they all jammed up and crashed each other 2 miles down the road. I was like, oh, Mike, I couldn't wait to get here, so I'm good.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm just glad I'm alive.
I got to tell you, you know, I ate a couple of those CBD gummies.
Yeah.
And I have chronic shoulder pain every single day, all day.
Yeah.
And
is that why you use that ball?
Gone.
You're a little flopsy?
No, it's like not bothering me right now.
Okay.
Which is so, yes, that's why I use the ball. Shut up.
did you tell them anything about what a great volunteer you were?
No, that's what we're going to get to.
Okay.
So, again, thank you guys for the great birthday last week. I ate as much of that pie as I could. There was maybe
I was literally going to break into your house the next day and steal the rest of that pie.
I ate it that night. And then on Halloween, I had it for breakfast and dinner.
You said you Homer Simpson sandwiched that
pie. How can I blame this on you? I totally did, although I didn't keep it under my bed. I Homer. yeah, it was just really, really good. So thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome.
And then we met, my wife and I met Jeff and our friend Tony, my brother, his wife, our parents, and the two girls. We had dinner at Jim and Nick's, which I have to say, quality kind of fell off a little bit.
Yeah, mine was good.
I think the brisket was dry. They didn't have the macaroni and cheese ready. And I've loved Jim and Nick's every single time I went. This time, just seemed like they weren't on their game. The waiter never came around, you know.
Where'd you go to?
The good one. Well, they're all good, but the
South Cobb Drive.
South Cobb Drive.
Yeah, no, the one in Snellville has had issues from day one. It's sucked ass since really? They opened it. Yeah,
that's too bad. Well, I gave the rest of the brisket to little Rizzo because she's having trouble eating the kibble. She doesn't like the kibble. It's too big. So aww. I mixed it in there. I mixed it up. You know, I'm going through mm-hmm. this whole thing in the morning for the dog. And, I mean, she's not a pig like the other two. They don't, right. You know how dogs scarf it down. In fact, for Izzy, we got a little bowl.
The slow feeder.
With a circle
yeah,
around
Sammy
it.
Sammy has
that driver nuts. But anyway, so I mixed all the food in, and I put a little of the bone broth in there. I'm like, oh, sure. Here's this special thing. All she ate was the beef and left the kibble. So.
That's why I get the fresh pet. I get the chicken fresh pet, and yeah. I mix it in with their Yukonuba, and they tear it up.
Yeah. She also eats dirt.
Oh, well.
I catch her out in the backyard eating dirt, and then she throws it up in the living room. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Animals are wonderful.
This is not crap, because I used to have one that would eat crap and then come in the house, and then she'd like spin around, and then there'd be like a tornado of crap against the wall, because she'd throw it up all against the wall. Nice. I don't know if you...
Here
like
on
dog
Tornado
crap,
Awareness Day.
But dog crap stinks, and puke stinks, but puked up dog crap stinks worse than anything in the entire world.
Yes, it does. That's gross. And then Saturday, Steph introduced me to the people from Barkville.
Yeah.
And we volunteered at Georgia Tech. What's that stadium called?
Bobby Dodd.
And nobody was there.
Yeah.
It was homecoming weekend, and Georgia Tech was taking on Pitt, ACC Coastal Division, right?
Yeah.
And it was really, really under-attended. It wasn't like a Georgia game at all where you can't move.
Yeah, those the guys that were working with us, they were really experienced, and they kept telling us, like, this
yeah.
is
those
unusual.
Guys were cool.
They were great. I love them. So, and Tim was so funny, you guys, because before we really got going, he was like, I really want a cigarette. And you're not supposed to be able to smoke on campus at all. But
you
one
can't.
One of the dudes says, oh, man, I got you. Just follow me, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I told him, I was like, don't do it. Don't go. They're not going to let you back in. The guy's like, they're going to let you back in. Don't worry about it. So there they go. They start scurving down the ramp. And Tim looks so happy and full of joy. And then just immediately, he comes back up the ramp, him and the other guy.
Buster Rhymes told us we couldn't go out.
He's like chasing me. I ain't paying motherfuckers to smoke.
He was yelling. Well, he was yelling at that guy, not me.
Right, I know, but it was just like, I know you just came in and hung your shit up.
Oh, you're shit, like, Busta Rhymes. I got to get out of here. but you could eat hot dogs, popcorn. You could eat everything.
How about that old man that the hot dog shot out of his bun?
Yeah.
And he was
in a walker. No, he was in a walker?
He was walking, but he was walking so slow. He was like 88. But the wiener shot out of his bun.
Yeah.
And he picked up the wiener.
So do I.
And he was going to Jeff it and put it back in the bun and eat it. But then the guys that we were working with, they were like, no, sir, no, no. And they got him a fresh one.
They were nicer than me. I said, 7-second rule.
You did. And they were like, no, man. God, give him a damn hot dog.
I forgot what it was like to check people out. And then what was really cool is that I had posted that we'd be there on social media, and people were coming up to me and, you know, hey, we're big fans of the show, the Von Hessler Doctrine. I like Radio Labyrinth. And one guy came up and didn't say, and he goes, and after I rang him out, he goes, oh, I thought you'd do it in a Trump voice. I go, well, how was I supposed to know you wanted me to? I went, thank you very much. Get out of here.
And what wasn't cool is that Tim posted a picture of us on his Instagram.
Meryl Streep was handing out.
And then he says, is this Gazoo? And says, you look like Meryl Streep. And I was like, shut up. And then a few minutes later, dude, another person just said you look like Meryl Streep. I was like, go to hell. She's like 70 years old.
They're not talking about the modern Meryl
Streep.
She's
a national treasure.
Okay, well, she wasn't wearing glasses and shit like when she was even in her 40s. This has like been something that's just started happening in her 60s. So whatever you say.
Well, I think people were giving you, they're like, who's that old bag you're standing next to?
I told the story when I went to work, and my coworker who is black, she said, she didn't feel that it was true. And
why she got to be black?
Because it's part of my story. It's because later on, she was telling me how somebody was saying to her that she doesn't look her age. She's 42. And they were saying, oh, I thought you were like 35. I said, oh, they didn't tell you you look like fucking Cecily Tyson. Lucky you.
You look like Della Reese.
So anyway, but yeah, Tim, please, if you want to come back on November 30th, we'd love to have you back.
I'm thinking about that. That might be a little too much for me.
It's a lot. I'm going to do it.
Because remember, we're like thinking we're getting out at 6:30, and then they're like, you're not getting out till 7:30, and I'm like, anxiety. I'm like, I can't stay.
I was going to see if I could get you to do it. If I couldn't, I was thinking about maybe I might beat Pete Davis down, see if maybe I can't get him to do it.
Jeff will do it.
Jeff ain't doing that shit.
I can't sell hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, it is
against my religion.
Yeah, it is against his religion.
But I was just trying to think, who else is another dog person that I could get to do this? I might be able to wrangle Pete.
English Nick might do it.
Oh, yeah, English Nick. Yeah. Okay.
I know you don't like know him super well, but you could reach out to him. He liked that we did that.
Oh, did he? And he plugged it, too, did he?
Yes, he did.
That was very cool.
Yes. And so did Mark Arum, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, did we cover everything?
I think so.
Okay. Let's do our staff picks. And next week on the show, we got fucking Ira Malkin coming in.
Yay!
So that'll be all. Hopefully, you'll have a game, and we'll be talking about The Deuce, which is just wrapped on Showtime. And we'll be talking
HBO. HBO.
On HBO. Sorry. What's the other show we're going to be talking about with him? Oh.
He wants to talk Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. Now, I'll be all caught up on everything by then. You guys are all caught up, right?
I'm one behind on Robot.
The fucking last episode of Robot was so fucking
good.
That's
the one I'm behind on.
There's the two lines of dialogue in the entire episode, one at the beginning and one at the end. And the whole thing had me on the fucking edge of my seat the entire time.
Okay.
And so, I don't give a shit about any of those characters.
Yeah.
So it's like, why?
So it's a good show then.
Why am I having so much anxiety? It was like so tense and so like, what's the word I'm looking for? Anticipation? I don't know.
I get you saying.
Just watch that episode. That was so fucking good.
And well, I've been leaving it on the DVR because I've been waiting for Caitlin. And we watched the whole series so far, but she says she's tired of it. So now I'm just going to get caught up. It'll be all TV and what we're watching, and we'll be talking about movies and stuff. It'll be awesome.
Okay.
On the 20th of November, we have Shane Morton from Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and Roy Woolley from Face Off. Now those guys are makeup guys. Just amazing dudes when it comes to the special effects and makeup on people. And, coming up, we have a bunch of stuff coming up in December, too. A lot of announcements to make that we're going to keep close to our vest right now.
Oh, and the bowling thing. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to get to that.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let me step all over your shit.
Shh. Radio. Did you buy a shirt?
I bought a shirt.
I didn't buy one either. I'm going to tell you something. I want to be very clear with you guys. I don't like anything with my image of any kind. At all.
Yes. You're Simpsonized.
I don't like my face. I don't like
Come on.
I don't like it made into anything. I like the logo. I'm a logo person.
This is why you and I are friends. I don't like it either.
I don't like my face.
You just got to get used
Come
to
on.
It.
Come on. You're Simpsonized.
There's nothing wrong with your face. Yeah. Tell her, Jeff.
You guys are Simpsonized.
There's nothing wrong with your face.
I just don't.
Ben did an amazing job making Simpsons
feels very
of
like,
all of
ew,
us.
Look at me. I'm wearing a shirt with my face on
no.
it.
Well,
I feel stupid.
You don't think Gene Simmons ever wore a Kiss shirt?
He's a piece of shit. I mean, that's
that
not
doesn't a, mean anything.
That's not a good. I mean, give me somebody cool.
You think Pope Francis ever wore a Pope shirt?
No.
No, come on, he does.
I don't know.
By the way, I saw a trailer for some movie where Anthony Hopkins is playing Pope Benedict, and then the guy who played the High Scepter in Game of Thrones is playing Pope Francis. Like, you couldn't find a better actor to play. That guy is Pope Francis, if you believe
what's
him.
What's he doing? Is he like a ninja? I mean, what's interesting
it's about the popes and why Benedict resigned, I think. Anyway, Pod Pals Bowling Sunday, 12:15 at 2 p.m. Comet Pub in Lanes. How do people sign up?
Okay, so we have the event posted, and a lot of people have already said that they were coming. I think we've got enough room for maybe a couple of more in the lanes that I booked. I booked 4 lanes, just going by what we got.
And we have them reserved.
They're reserved. They're ready to roll. I reserved like 20 pairs of shoes.
Okay.
So here's the thing is if more people want to come and you didn't sign up for it and we don't have you in the lanes, I really feel like you'll probably be able to get a lane if you just showed up. Or if you don't want to, a lot of people, if you guys want to just hang out at the bar and just goof off with us while we're bowling.
Yeah, if somebody wants
really
to come
cool
and really wants to bowl, I'll give them my spot too. If they really want to bowl.
I mean, but they have great food. I mean, they have good food. It's not crap bar food, and they have excellent drinks and stuff, so you could just hang out and screw around with us.
So this is going to be fun.
Nobody goes over the line, though, or I'm drawing my gun.
Hey, Smokey's a conscientious objector, man. I did not know that. Where can people find information about this?
Well, you can go to our Facebook page, the Radio Labyrinth, and the event's on there, and it has all the info. And it's just, it's Comet Bowling, it's Pub and Lanes there in Decatur. It's a good little location. You may not realize it because it's a strip mall, and you're like, where's a bowling alley? Well, so you have to go in the mall, and then you go downstairs, and then bam, there's a bowling alley.
That's not Wild Card Week, is it?
No.
Okay, good. Fuck it.
I mean, I don't think so.
Who cares? Come to the game. You can. You got a phone. You can look at your phone.
But anyway, it's $4 per game.
Uh-huh.
Per person, $4 for shoes. And I figure if you got six people on a lane, because you can have up to six people on a lane, we'll probably get through two games in about 2.5 hours. That's about how long it'll take.
All righty. Let's do staff picks. Go ahead. You start.
Mine is Jeff Garland next Tuesday on Netflix. He's got a new stand-up special.
I haven't seen him in a long time do stand-up.
I haven't either, and I adore him, so I'm going to watch it.
I think he's
great
too.
On the Goldbergs.
I
watched that show the other night. The TV was on, and I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's always funny. Love that show.
Jeff?
My staff pick is Rick and Morty. Comes back on the 10th.
Mm.
You say I got my Mr. Poopy Butthole shirt on tonight.
Nice.
So they're finally done excoriating this guy like I did that one time.
And also, I've recommended to you that you watch that For All Mankind show on Apple TV.
I don't know. I tried to.
It's so up your alley,
I didn't watch
man.
It, though.
It's like alternative history.
Yeah.
It's a Battlestar Galactica guy. It's everything. It's like, let's check all the boxes that Tim Andrews would want to watch on a show. And it's all those except no boobs yet.
All right.
But it's alternative history. The Russians beat us to the moon.
Yeah.
And then just the results of that. And
okay. I'll give it a shot. Yeah. Why not? I maybe make that my stat pick. I did have a stat pick. I emailed it to myself. And no, I can't find the damn thing. What's wrong with me? Oh, here it is. You guys ready?
No.
I'm just stalling while I... Oh, yeah, here we go. Shut up. Half in the bag, Terminator Dark Fate. Full spoilers. It's 41 minutes long. I apologize to all the people I spoiled the movie for on Twitter who got mad at me and unfollowed me. I pissed off some people. Dick, fuck you. But half in the bag, the guys give it, you know, they said, it's all right.
Weren't we excited for that Terminator movie for a short time?
I was.
Yeah. And then when they started showing commercials, I was like,
yep.
This does not look good.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was like, what the fuck? I was excited to see this movie, but then they started showing those commercials and the trailers and everything. I was like, I don't even care to see this.
The best thing people are saying about it is that it's the best of all the sequels after T2.
Oh, well, that's not saying much at all.
And spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, they shoot John Connor in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Oh, lame.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, I saw that Katherine Schwarzenegger tweeted out a picture of her and Chris Pratt at the Cine Bistro here in Atlanta. They were watching it.
Oh, yeah?
Catching her daddy.
God. Crap!
No. And can I also say this? And this is terrible, but Keanu Reeves, did you see the picture of his girlfriend?
Yeah. What about her?
She's a lovely lady. And she's an artist.
What about
you? Just wish you were Keanu Reeves' girlfriend.
Well, I could be now. Now that I've seen it, I could be. I never thought I had a chance, but I should have went for that shit years ago.
Let your hair go gray.
Because apparently I could have maybe gotten it. So anyway, I think it's upset a lot of us women, I think, globally.
Whoa. I thought he was hooking up with Winona Ryder. That was the last thing. Do you have a dog promotion this week?
Just the same old thing, you know, go to Fulton, go to DeKalb, go to Gwinnett's. We don't have an event for Barkville this week, but we will be doing the Georgia Tech game on the 16th. I won't be there, but then we're doing the Georgia Tech game on November 30th.
Maybe one of our listeners who's a dog person that you know might want to do it with you.
Oh, well, reach out to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, this is not...
You don't get
not,
to watch the game, by the
no,
way.
You don't get to watch the game, and it's not easy.
There's
I mean,
no TVs
we're grunts.
In there?
No.
No. You're in the concession stand, and you're kind of...
But aren't you only busy, like, between quarters and shit?
No.
No.
It's we busy weren't busy the entire at all. Time?
We had 20 customers at halftime. That's how slow it was. Now, multiply that by 1,000 when the Georgia game is
all right, there. Shut up, Tim. Now you're making me not want to do this. I'm going to have to eat all of Beth's gummies to get through this.
Run the register.
Well, I will run the register.
Wasn't that easy?
Yeah, that's why you like being up on Front Street.
Yeah.
Because I was slinging hot chocolate and popcorn all over
everybody. And spilling it all over everything.
I really was. I couldn't fill a drink for nothing.
We moved the boxes at the end of the night and there were...
Shut up.
There was hot chocolate and popcorn everywhere.
Spilling the popcorn.
But I will say this. Finally, Fulton has come through and their board of commissioners approved a $35 million budget for a new animal shelter.
Nice.
Which they should have done ages ago, but at least they have finally done it. So I'm not sure they'll be breaking ground pretty soon. And anyway, so that was pretty cool.
Awesome. And where can people find out more about Barkville?
Oh, you can go to BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are looking to adopt a dog, we've got all kinds of them. You know, I mean, you always hear me talk about the least desirables because that's what I'm always attracted to. Same with people. But they have actually a lot of good dogs that are like little, medium size, any kind of...
Little shaky dogs?
Little shaky goobles, whatever you need. We got it. And, you know, it's, seriously, if you want to foster, we need foster so bad. Even if you want to do it for 2 weeks, just give it a try.
Give it a try. All right. Well, thank you, guys. And thanks again to Beth Van Elswick. We called her Angel, but she's going by Beth. And you could...
That was just a college nickname, dude.
Yeah, bro. Weso.com, WIESOW.com. And again, next week, Ira Malkin returns to the podcast.
Yay!
And
Ira!
Fucking Ira. Although we won't be able to say that shortly.
Oh, no. It's coming to an end.
You'll bleep it.
Freaking Ira.
Freaking Ira.
I am not spending hours of my evening bleeping swear words.
Freaking.
I am going to turn into Andrew Dice Clay when we start that.
Oh, my God.
And have no fear. We'll figure it out. All right, guys. Until next week, please remember to keep it cannabis. Weed.
Hey, radios. Thank you for listening to Radio Labyrinth. We want to thank everyone who's donating over on patreon.com/Tim Andrews. If you are not a patron, go check us out. We have different tiers available for whatever price point you're interested in. If you have any ideas for some benefits that you'd like to see coming up, let us know. We're open to all kinds of feedback and to ideas and to brainstorming. But first, I want to thank Aaron Roberts, Al McMeekin, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Hopkins, Andrew Mulatsi, Beth Van Elswick, Bradley Schumpert, Brennan Price, Brian Jackson, Brian Smith, Buck Monterrey, Chad Shepard, Chris Cosentino, Chris Knight, Chris Weiland, Christopher Doerr, Colin Oman, Daniel Pitts, Dave Benson, David C. Funk, Dean Poole, Denise Reynolds, Dustin Lalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalal Jason Hoft. Jason, I hope that's cool. Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jesse Rosinski, John Sutherland, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Kevin Schwartz, Kevin Stokes, Kit Beatty, Lauren Kaldeman, Leslie Haney, Leslie Norman, Luca Neguyo, Mark Weiland, Marty Johnson, Matt Carter, Melissa Knowles, Michael Einhaus, Mike D, Mike Hall, Mike Spittler, Nicholas Frank, Nick Starts, Robert Calderman, Robert Haley, Ruben Aguilar, Rusty Weinberg, Ryan Wilson, Sam Wells, Sean Hall, Sherry Doherty, Steve Knutson, Trent, Walt, Murray, Wayne, Blair, and Wendy Muller. Thank you, honey. We love you. Bye-bye. Keep it canon or whatever you say. These kids. Aw. Oh.